Time for the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show, Minds Over Matter. This week, remotely, host Dana Rodriguez is joined by teacher Lori Fisher and technical editor Kira Pace. Gotta be Dana Rodriguez from his home in Alameda.
All right. Thank you very much, David. And hello, everybody, all fellow captives. And hope you can join us over the course of the next hour for Minds Over Matter. Hopefully, we will inform you, entertain you, amuse you a little bit, and give you a lot of questions that you can think about. Hopefully you can give us a call and maybe give us an answer or a question of your own. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is area code 415-841-4134. Or toll free. Yes, we do have a toll free number, 866-798-8255. That is 866-798-8255. I think our lines are fairly open right now. It's always good to call at the beginning of the show, and then you're guaranteed to get on. Also, want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. Again, that is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. That is mindsovermatter1. That is the numeral one. So that is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. It's always great to hear from our listeners and fellow captives out there. They all get read, so feel free to email us anytime. Want to remind you that you can listen to a live stream of the show at kalw.org. Again, that is kalw.org. And if you'd like to hear the podcast of the show after we are on tonight, that should be up soon. And that will also be at kalw.org and a lot of other places as well. But start with KALW. I'm sure they would appreciate that. We're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. And here's the first. Kira Pace reminds you that if you're pulling your mask down to sneeze, you're doing mask wrong.
Yes. So... Here's a tip. If you are out and about and you are going to sneeze, sneeze into your mask or at the very least into your arm. Don't pull your mask down and sneeze into the open air or worse yet, my face, as happened this week.
Did it really?
Yes, it did. It's just the second time now during this whole thing that I've been directly sneezed on by somebody else I've never met. Yeah, no, it's gross. There is a good chance that Lori Fisher is officially over Zoom bud. Last night, Dana, Kira, even Ede, and virtual All Minds Over Matters listeners invaded his dreams in little Zoom boxes, asking loudly, "Can you hear me? Can you see me?" He fears this is the new normal.
I do. But thank you all for behaving in my dream last night. And for now, untouched by human hands, our moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Except for my own hands, and thank goodness for that.
Yeah, we'll say the same thing.
Are you falling in love with yourself again?
Well, you know, when it's just you. Anyway, enough of that.
Okay.
So we'll begin the questioning as usual with Kira Pace.
All right. Sorry, my bangs are all in my eyes. So I have a lead-in question for you, followed by a question. And here is my lead-in. I take that back. I'm going to do this one instead. There are many movies whose titles are Attack of the Something. So I'm going to give you a tagline, and I want you to tell me what movie it's the attack of. Okay? So I have six. So here are the taglines. And remember, these are taglines for movies that are called Attack of the Something.
All right.
First, From the Depths of the Sea, A Tidal Wave of Terror. That's the first one. That's from 1957. Next, people always called Nancy the little woman. They'll never do that again. That's from 58 and 93 remake.
Sounds great.
Yeah, the next one, Terror Comes in Small Packages. That one is from 1958. What was the terrible power of the demons of the swamp? That one is from 1959. From 1978, we have simply Arg. And finally,
it's a pirate movie, right?
Yeah. Finally, from the 21st century, the saga continues. So again, from the depths of the sea, a tidal wave of terror. People always called Nancy the little woman. They'll never do that again. Terror comes in small packages. What was the terrible power of the demons of the swamp? Arg! And the saga continues. So do you know any of those Attack of the movies?
I might know one of them.
All right.
I'm going to go with number two about little Nancy. Mm-hmm. Is that the Attack of the 50-Foot Woman?
Sure is.
I've seen
Good job.
I didn't remember that was her name. I thought it was maybe Nancy Reagan. Yeah.
Well, that's the tagline to the second version, the Daryl Hannah version from 93. The taglines from the 1950s version were less savory.
Less savory. Yeah. Dana, you can have the rest of them.
Well, it's yeah, part of it puzzles me because the one about small, read the one about
Terror comes in small packages from 1958.
Okay. Well, there's the Incredible Shrinking Man, but that's not Attack of anything.
No.
Go over the list once more.
Sorry, this is my Night of the Leapist question, by the way.
It's your Revenge of the Leapist.
It is. All right, so there are many movies whose titles are Attack of the Something. I'll give you a tagline. You tell me what movie it's the attack of. And we have From the Depths of the Sea, A Tidal Wave of Terror. That's from 1957.
Give me the years as you go along.
Sure. Terror Comes in Small Packages. That's 1958. What Was the Terrible Power of the Demons of the Swamp? That's 1959. Arg, which is 1978. And finally, The Saga Continues. That's in the 21st century.
Right. You know, I don't know these offhand. There's a movie called The Alligator People, which is the swamp. It's not Attack of the Alligator People.
No, that's not it. It's another swamp critter.
I'm sure I've seen the one From Beneath the Sea. I'm sure I've seen all of these, actually. But
of course you have.
Beneath the Sea, 58. It's not The Giant Behemoth, which is a ridiculous title because it's the same thing.
Beneath the Sea is 57. I don't know if that makes any difference to you. Yeah, 57.
The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms, but that's not Attack of anything.
No attacks. Mm-hmm. I have a question.
Okay, leave it out.
Is number six a Star Wars movie?
It is.
And it's the Attack of the, Dana, help me. I don't know my Star Wars movies.
The Attack of the Clones. Right. Yes, the saga continues is episode two, Attack of the Clones. Very nice.
All right. Well, I'm glad I got something. Huh? And Lori, you go ahead.
All right. I don't know what that's. Hold on a second. I didn't mean for that to happen. That wasn't me at all. Anyway, I have been watching Mrs. America. I don't know if you've been watching it. It's the history of all people, Phyllis Schlafly, and the early days of feminism and Ms. Magazine. And it's actually interesting and good. And these questions involve the earliest days of Ms. Magazine, 1971 and 72. So I have questions about the first three issues. In the first issue, the Hindu god Kali, she's an eight-armed goddess. She's holding eight things to represent the view of Ms. Magazine at the time. I want to know what she's holding in her hands or something different in each hand. That's the hardest question. The other two is the first edition of Ms. had a fictional character on the cover. Who was it? And the second edition had a real person, an actual famous person on the cover. Who was that? So I'm looking for what Kali was holding, the Hindu goddess was holding in her hands to represent the state of women at the time. And then who was on the second cover, a fictional character, and who was on the third?
So was Wonder Woman on the cover?
She was. That was her first official edition, 1972. Bell on that one.
I remember that because even then I was woke, you know.
Yes, you were. And still are.
Yeah.
All right. So we're looking for the real character who was in the third issue and then what Kali was holding in her hands.
So Kali is destruction. So I would guess that she's holding eight things that are represent, you know, things that should be destroyed or, you know, like old non-feminist items is my guess. Is that
like a, would that like be, a frying pan?
Or like rolling like pin or typewriter or stuff like that.
Okay. So you just got two of them. A skillet is one of them. Okay. And a typewriter is another one. Kira, okay. Kira, what was the other one you said?
Oh, I said rolling pin.
Not a rolling pin.
Right. So that would be the frying pan. Sure. Yeah. So what about a bottle?
No bottle. Like a baby bottle.
Yeah.
No baby bottle.
Okay.
Give you two more guesses each.
How about a mop or a broom or something like that? Or a
feather duster? Feather duster?
No feather duster and no mop or broom, but something with a long handle.
Vacuum cleaner.
Oh, nice.
Not very nice, but not it.
Mop?
No mop.
And not a dust mop either, then?
Not a dust mop.
Is it a cleaning implement?
There is no cleaning implement on, surprisingly, on, I'm going to say there's no cleaning implement on the list.
Oh, okay. So it's a long-handled something that is not used to clean.
Oh,
correct. It's used outside the house.
A hose?
You're getting in the right area.
A hoe, a shovel?
It's a rake.
Oh,
a
nice.
Rake.
Okay. All right.
So we have three of them, and we're looking for five more. So we're looking for the five more things that Kali was holding, and we're looking for the first celebrity who was on the cover of Ms., which was in the third edition after Wonder Woman.
Was this celebrity in politics?
No.
So no politics. And was this celebrity in entertainment?
Yes.
But not sports entertainment, just entertainment.
Not sports entertainment, and I'll just...
Actress?
Just entertainment will get you if you get it, but not sports.
Is she an actress? I'm assuming it's a woman.
It is a woman, and she is an actress.
What about Tippi Hedren?
Not Tippi Hedren. Okay. Interesting guess.
78. Okay, leave it out.
It's 72, not 78.
So just read everything again, if you would.
Okay, so in the very first issue, which was called the preview edition of Ms. Magazine, the goddess Kali was holding eight things, and you got skillet, typewriter, and rake. I'm looking for what were in her five other hands. Wonder Woman was on the first official edition, and somebody in show business, a celebrity in show business, was on this the second official edition. Who was it?
Oh, sewing machine or sewing needle.
No, but you're coming right next to it.
Knitting needle.
Nope.
All right. Scissors.
All right. Okay. And David, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, hi. Yes, I have a question for you.
Okay.
I was watching All in the Family one day, an old one, and Archie and Edith's religion came up, and I was wondering if you know what their religion is.
Oh. Hmm. Interesting.
Was it Judaism? Okay. Like with Sammy Davis.
Edith had a Jewish either niece or cousin, a young child that she was taking care of. And it was in that context that their religion came up.
Well, some kind of Protestant, right?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna peg, and are Archie and Edith the same religion?
I know Edith is this religion. I assumed that Archie was.
I'm going to say she's Methodist.
No.
Okay.
I will say Presbyterian.
Nope.
Episcopalian.
Yes.
Yay.
Yes. I was surprised that they chose Episcopalian. So that's why I thought it would be an interesting question.
Not Unitarian.
No.
Thank you
very much.
All right.
That's it.
Good question.
Bye-bye.
Archie used to refer to the Reverend Felcher, and Edith would correct him to say Fletcher.
Oh. All right. Let me give you a couple questions here. So what two, and these are non-news shows, keep that in mind, what two non-news daytime TV shows have had the greatest increase in viewership since the stay-at-home order across the United States? What two non-news daytime TV shows have had the greatest increase in viewership since stay-at-home became a fact?
Are these scripted shows or talk shows, or am I thinking the wrong way?
They're just daytime TV shows that have been on.
Price is Right.
The Price is Right is one of them. Yes.
Yes, it is.
Very good. Very good. And
I didn't know it was still on the air.
It is.
Yeah, it's Drew Carey now.
Yeah. And so what's another one like that, Kara?
Well, I don't know that it's going to be another game show. I would guess it would be something more like Dr. Phil, because I would hardly qualify him as news.
Not Dr. Phil.
Okay. No. Dr. Oz?
Not Dr. Oz.
The doctors?
Is Kara in the right department? Is it people who are sort of, you know, talk show-y, therapy kind of deal, giving information?
Well, there's talking on the show. Let's put it that way.
Well, there's talking on every show.
Oh, Ellen?
Not Ellen.
Okay.
So what two non-news daytime TV shows have had the greatest increase in viewership since Stay at Home became a fact? And The Price is Right is one. What is the other show?
What's the name of the show with Whoopi Goldberg on it in the morning?
It is not The View. It is
okay, not the View. Okay.
All right. Second question. What four board games have seen the greatest spike in sales since Shelter in Place became a fact? What four board games have seen the greatest spike in sales since Shelter in Place became a fact?
Pandemic.
One guess. No.
Scrabble.
Opportunity.
I'm going with not Scrabble.
And
everyone
not
has Scrabble online, so right? So like, do you even need the board anymore?
Oh, so this is a game where you need the board.
I would guess.
As a matter of fact, I will say this, that my husband just got Pandemic to play, and he put it away because it seemed too complicated.
it's the German board games. They're different.
Yeah. So again, what four board games have seen the greatest spike in sales since Shelter in Place became a fact?
And are these kind of classic old board games?
They're just board games.
What about Candyland?
No, not Candyland.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Leave that. So,
unreasonable guess. Yeah.
So, once more, what two non-news daytime TV shows have had the greatest increase in viewership since Stay at Home? And Kira got The Price is Right, which is correct. And what's the other one? And what four board games have had the greatest spike in sales since Shelter in Place?
I'll take one more guess. How about chess?
No, not chess.
Yeah.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Okay, this is it. So I have a couple of very quick questions for you. I actually emailed you one of the answers. Hopefully you can read it. According to John Hopkins, what is the death rate for this Hopkins University? Okay?
I'm sorry. I didn't quite get that, E. What'd you say?
John Hopkins University Medical School. What is the death rate for this virus in Europe, different countries? Just name three countries.
What is the death rate?
Because it's very confusing. Yeah, how much percent of people who get infected died?
Oh, it's
what is the highest?
It's around 3-4%.
You're wrong. Italy. You know what? What's the death rate in Italy?
It was higher in Italy, right?
Very high.
Yeah, it was in the 5-10%, right?
10.56%.
Doesn't it depend on the population of elderly in a given country?
I'm not putting that in the equation. We really don't know much about that virus. It has killed a lot of young people as well. Okay, I mean Italy is a country. How about Spain?
3-4%.
No, 7.7%.
All right.
How about Iran?
That one was fairly high too. Let's stick with 7.
7 it is. 7.35%. It is just very, very dangerous virus, very deadly. That's why I want to warn everybody. That's why I had this terrible question for you. What is the difference between virus and bacteria, by the way? A virus and a bacterium or bacteria. What's the difference?
Well, other than the fact that they are different kingdoms?
No, there's a big difference, a huge difference.
Well, there's huge. The shell. The virus usually has a shell. Some people say virus isn't alive or has different life stages.
You're right. You're very close. Okay, the virus does not have a nucleus. Okay. So it cannot reproduce on its own. It needs a host cell to reproduce. It has no clue. It really is. The weird thing is it's just a molecule. It's just a molecule. It really is just a molecule. Why is it designed to be the savagery it does to humans? I mean, most of the big epidemics in human history were from viruses. So that is, it needs a host cell. Once it goes in the host cell, it makes thousands or even tens of thousands of its own copy. This thing is very dangerous, by the way. We're getting a lot of mixed things.
It's not that I'm ungrateful for the information, but this is a sort of a show where people show. Are That's trying fine. To get away from talking about this rather than
okay. Let's don't talk about it. Just very 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 quick other question, then we'll go on. In Egypt, they used this monument to project on it in English. Stay home, stay safe. Which monument?
Probably the pyramid, right?
Pyramid. You can see it online. It is really beautiful. The last thing, a very quick comment about the guy with Easter last week. Actually, this thing over like 5,000-6,000 years. European, that whole Mediterranean area is very small. So it does go after Ishtar, and they called Ishtar in Europe, some places. And even there was a huge cult of people in Europe over the, you know, 1,000 years or so. They worship the ancient Egyptian goddess Isis until like centuries ago. So it is the same thing, yes, but with different names. It goes all back to the ancient Middle East because the area was very small. The Mediterranean is really small, little sea, tiny, small, little sea. Thank you. Always good show. Sorry I took so
Thank
much
you,
time. Thank you,
Ian.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. And remember, he told you to keep your call short. So don't forget to do that. Yes. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, this is Ryan in Chicago.
Hi.
Hey, so TV shows are the greatest increase. What about Jeopardy?
Not Jeopardy.
Judge Judy?
Not Judge Judy.
Good guess.
Okay. Board games? What about Monopoly?
Yes, Monopoly is number four.
Really?
Yes.
Settlers of Catan?
Nope. Not that sophisticated, I'm afraid.
Clue?
Yes, Clue's number three.
Nice.
One more guess, Risk?
No, not Risk.
Huh. Okay. Then have a Oscars question for you. So looking for actor or actress who had the longest amount of time between Oscar nominations for best actor, actress, or supporting. There's one that had 41 years, and then there's a couple that are tied for 39 years.
Well, one is maybe Helen Hayes, the 1931 and 1969 or 68, something like that. Is that one of them?
Yep, that's one of the ones tied for second place.
So The Sin of Madeleine Claude and Airport.
Right.
And
31 and 70.
So they couldn't. So as your question is, they couldn't have any in between.
Right.
Is that it? Okay. So Katharine Hepburn would not be one of them.
And these are between nominations or between winning?
Between nominations.
What was the lady in Titanic?
Oh.
Was the lady? What,
that was her.
Was
yeah,
her
but
first?
She was never nominated before
okay.
that. So,
all right.
How about Henry Fonda? Is that possible?
No. Henry Fonda is that's number one. He had 41 years. Do you know what the movies were?
On Golden Pond was the second one.
Right. Is Grapes of Wrath the first one? Is that?
Yep, that's right. Grapes of Wrath and right. On Golden Pond.
Okay. Oh, so they could have had other nominations in between. Is that
correct? No, he said no.
Fonda didn't for Young Mr. Lincoln and things like that?
Well, Young Mr. Lincoln was before the Grapes of Wrath.
Yeah, from what I can tell, he won 41 years from Grapes of Wrath to On a Golden Pond.
Okay, not 12 Angry Men, not nominated for that? I thought he was. Maybe not.
I believe that was nominated for Best Picture, but he didn't get a nomination for that.
All right. So how many are those the records, or are there ones that are longer than that?
So that was the longest, and then there was a tie between Helen Hayes and someone else who both had gone 39 years. I'll give you a clue. The other person's a guy, and he also is unique because he did it for playing the same role.
Paul Newman?
No.
Very good. I think you're right.
No, he just said no.
Oh, no. Okay.
Because he was nominated in between, I think.
Well, and it wasn't that long, I guess, between those two movies.
So he played the same. What were the years of the at least one of them? I'll put it that way.
Well, so 39 years, same as Helen Hayes. So one of those would give the other away, but 76 and 2015.
Oh, okay. 76 and 2015.
2015 is like yesterday.
And it's the same. It's the same role.
Right, yeah, and it's an actor, another, which would probably make it supporting actor 2015 would be my guess.
It was supporting actor in 2015 and best actor in 76. And he's the only actor ever with multiple nominations to only have been nominated for one role. So he's only ever been nominated for this
One role. Huh. That's a great question. I got to say
76.
And was it a real-life person or a fictional?
Fictional. Although it was kind of a, he was playing a character that resembled his real-life presence.
Did Woody Allen get nominated for Best Actor? And no, because Amy Hall was later anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, you better tell us. Who is it?
This was a famous Philadelphia movie.
Rocky, of course. Oh, Stallone.
That's right.
Sorry.
That's good.
All right.
Thanks
a lot. Great show. Bye.
All right. Thanks. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. We're coming to you from our various domiciles tonight, but we hope you will call from your domicile and join in. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Our panel tonight, that would be Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher, who teaches at Dabo Valley College, although he hasn't been there in a while. And I am your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. And Kira, it is your turn.
All right. Well, now I will do my lead-in question followed by question. And here's the lead-in. This song's just 6 words long. Is a Weird Al parody of what Billboard number one hit, a cover from 1987. Again, this song's just 6 words long, is a Weird Al parody of what Billboard number one hit, a cover from 1987.
So we're supposed to guess a 6 word song, right? Not a 6 word title, or the whole song has 6 words. So the song has 6 words.
The Weird Al parody is called "The Song's Just 6 Words Long." The title of the song I'm looking for is indeed 6 words long. The original was 1962, but the far more famous version, the version that hit number one on the Billboard charts, was 1987. And I thought Lori had a chance with this one on account of who had the hit.
Yeah, well, I should. 1987. Who had?
I know 1987. I don't usually go that far.
that's getting close to Dana's territory. Another 30.
Not close enough.
No, I know.
We did. I don't go that far forward usually, but based on the singer.
So Weird Al.
Weird Al did a parody called "The Song's Just 6 Words Long," and it's a parody of a cover song from 1987 that hit number one. But okay, so we'll skip over that and we'll get right to the question. And it is this: there are 7 Best Picture Oscar winners whose titles are exactly 6 words long. So I'm just asking you to name them. Best Picture winners whose titles are 6 words long.
Is it The Best Years of Our Lives?
That's the one I was thinking of too.
That is the 3rd on the list.
3rd chronologically, is that it?
That is correct.
Okay. All right. There's going to be a lot of silence here where I count on my hands the greatest show on earth. Just
You Can't Take It With You.
You Can't Take It With You is correct. Nice. That is another one. That's number 2. So there's one before that.
Oh, boy. Is there one before that?
Correct.
All Quiet on the Western Front?
Is the one before that. So you've got the first 3, which is on brand. took the the oldest ones.
Of course.
Yes.
So now we got to go future in time.
Got to go.
After the best years of our lives.
After the best years of our
day.
Lives.
Modern day. Yeah.
I assure you, though, that none of these movies even touches the songs just 6 words long. So that's, if you get to the 80s, you've gone too far.
Did Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid win?
No.
No.
It wasn't Best
All right.
No?
Okay. Repeat the question, Kira, and give the ones that have already been gotten so far.
Okay. So the lead-in question was, this song's just 6 words long is a Weird Al parody of what Billboard number 1 hit, a cover from 1987, and then name the 7 Best Picture Oscar winners whose titles are exactly 6 words long. There are 7 of them. And we have the first 3. We have All Quiet on the Western Front, You Can't Take It With You, and The Best Years of Our Lives. Looking for 4 more.
All right. And Lori, you go ahead too.
Okay. As a side note, one of my distant cousins is Weird Al's drummer, better known as Bermuda Schwartz. Yeah, he's my cousin. Anyway, so I am giving equal time here on the Phyllis Schlafly movie and Phyllis Schlafly herself. I didn't know either of these things. So it's about in 1971 that she's fighting the Equal Rights Amendment.
She had a gay son, I can tell you that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
All right. Yes, she did.
That's not in the movie yet, but you probably know this. About 10 years before, she had a book that sold over 3 million copies. What was the title? And she also had 4 books all on the same topic. And none of them had to do with women's issues in particular. What were the 4 books about? So and the one book was a bestseller. And it was, I won't give you any information. It was political. And the other one were 4 books on the same topic. What was that topic?
All right. I don't know.
Oh, you don't. Yeah. And the other, I think I had heard of this book, the 3 million copy one, and I just didn't know that she wrote it. Okay, so we'll leave it out there in case you can get it. Carrie, you got the one?
The Joy of Sex.
Yeah.
That was not it. No. Shockingly. I'm not even sure she owned a copy, but I'll accept the expression on your face, which I can see.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Mind the Reminder.
Hi, David from Berkeley.
Hi, David.
Hi. Keep it light this week, unless Killer Tomatoes is a dark answer for the
ARG. Yes, the tagline ARG goes for the attack of the killer tomatoes.
For the more extreme one and obscure, how about Attack of the Killer Shrews?
No. There was a reason, and I honestly don't remember
I think it didn't have a title.
No. I can tell you because the movie was just called The Killer Shrews.
That was in my own imagination, the rest of the title. Yeah. I always wondered what they were doing, these rugs running around in 4 legs. But they're of the same era of the late 50s. There was a post-apocalyptic fiction.
Yes.
And it was done by the United Artists. But, of course, the survivors were in another country.
Australia.
Yes, there you go.
On the beach.
On the beach. The movie is.
Fred Astaire.
Yeah, on the beach, right. And what was their song they sang?
Waltzing Matilda.
Oh, good. Okay. I think everybody on this this isolation should be seeing some of these movies. And I'll unless there's a the remake of what's going on now, Attack of the Inebriated Self-Isolators.
Yeah, right.
Arg. That's another tagline of Arg.
Yeah. Okay, in 2021. Thank you.
How come it did have a tagline of ARG? Do you know? Does it fit the Killer Tomato thing?
Yeah, it was kind of a comic movie. It was comic horror, yeah.
Is one of them one of my favorite Roger Corman movies, Attack of the Crab Monsters? Is that on there?
From 1957, from the depths of the sea, a tidal wave of terror, Attack of the Crab Monsters.
Right. Starring the later Gilligan's Island regular, the doctor. The doctor on Gilligan's
Professor?
Island. Professor, I'm sorry. Yes. Okay, that's good. And let's see. So, Laura, you just gave your question. Let me give you a couple questions here. Or maybe just one. All right. After Disneyland, what are the two most popular tourist attractions that are named after people in the United States? After Disneyland, what are the two most popular tourist attractions in the U.S. that are named after people?
What about Busch Gardens?
No.
Okay.
Lori?
Thinking.
Yeah. And are any of them ballparks or football fields?
None of them.
Okay.
None of them. Or neither one, I should say.
Okay.
So once more, after Disneyland or Disney World or whatever, what are the two most popular tourist attractions in the U.S. that are named after people?
Are any of them like outdoor recreational facilities or parks?
Are outdoor. Yeah, I will give you that.
Like Disneyland is outdoor, like, you know, commercially built, or more like the John Muir Trail?
Well, both, but no. Okay. Yeah.
Nothing. I'm going to think about it. Leave it out there. I'll blurt it in when I come up with something brilliant.
All right. Now let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Kira, you can go first.
All right. There are many movies whose titles are Attack of the Something. I'll give you a tagline. You tell me what movie it's the attack of. And the only ones we have left are from 1958, Terror Comes in Small Packages, and from 1959, What Was the Terrible Power of the Demons of the Swamp? Next, this song's just 6 words long is a Weird Al parody of what Billboard number one hit, a cover from 1987. And finally, I was looking for the names of the 7 Best Picture Oscar winners whose titles are exactly 6 words long. And we have 3 of them. We have All Quiet on the Western Front, You Can't Take It With You, and The Best Years of Our Lives. Looking for the other 4.
All right. Lori?
And I have on the premier issue of Ms. Magazine, Holly, the Hindu goddess, had 8 arms and she was holding 8 different symbolic things. We have skillet, typewriter, and rake. We're looking for the 5 others. On the 3rd cover was the first time Ms. had a human being, or a living human being, a celebrity in show business. Want to know that. And then I have my Phyllis Schlafly question, even though Kara's rolling her eyes. What bestseller did she write in about 1964? Political bestseller, 3 nonfiction. And then she was sort of an expert on this one item, this one topic. She wrote 4 books on it. What was that topic?
Okay. And I have what 2 non-news daytime TV shows have had the greatest increase in viewership since stay at home became a fact? And Kira got The Price is Right. What is the other show? What 4 board games have seen the greatest spike in sales since shelter in place? So far we have Clue and Monopoly, but what are the other 2 of those? And after Disneyland, or anything named after Disney, what are the 2 most popular tourist attractions in the United States that are named after people?
So is one of them Rockefeller Center?
It is not. You read that article in the New York Times, didn't you?
I saw it, yeah.
It was very interesting.
It was, yeah. And is one of the board games Life?
No.
Yeah.
What about Payday?
No.
Okay.
How about Checkers?
Payday? Wow, I haven't heard about that in a long time.
How about Checkers?
Checkers, no.
No, all right. Backgammon, all right.
Yeah, no. And not Scrabble either, if that's
And Stratego. What about Stratego?
Not Stratego, no. Okay. Let me give you, I was going to ask this earlier. I'm going to ask this right now. In the game, because it'll probably be gotten right away. In the game operation, what are the five highest paying operations? In other words, you know, what the highest score total for operation?
I think Funny Bone.
Funny Bone, no.
Okay.
Heart transplant?
No. So in the game operation, what are the five highest paying operations?
What about water on the knee?
No.
Okay.
I thought you guys would get this right away because you play Operation all the time.
Are they all kind of humorous, like Kara suggested?
Yeah, well, yeah. They're all meant to be humorous.
Really?
Yeah. So, all right.
Not Funny Bone. That is good. All right.
Not Funny Bone. Yeah. All right. Let me look at that again. No, not Funny Bone. There is a bone in there.
Oh, yeah. Spare rib. That one was always really hard to get.
No. Not that.
No? Okay. Mm-mm. Dude, I haven't played this since like 1980-something. So.
Does that even have to do with the bone that's called the humerus? That would be funny.
There is a bone in there, just to let you know.
Yeah.
Bone in there.
So.
Hot water, okay.
Not that. So in the game operation, what are the five highest paying operations?
Anything with elbow grease?
No.
Yeah.
All right. And the two numbers to join us are area code 415-841-4134. I've had this paper so long this has been written on that I can barely read it anymore. 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. This is Minds Over Matter. We are here every Sunday at 7 p.m., apocalypse or not. And we hope you will join us. And let's see. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello there. This is Mark in Sausalito.
Hi, Mark.
Hi. Well, I got scooped on some of the attack movies, but there are still a couple left.
Mm-hmm.
And monster movies is where I live. So terror comes in small packages. That has to be Attack of the Puppet People.
It is Attack of the Puppet
very
People.
Good.
There was also John Hoyt.
I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. There was also one called The Doll People, but that was not Attack of.
No.
And I'm pretty sure that the demons from the swamp must be Attack of the Giant Leeches.
It is Attack of the Giant Leeches.
Good job.
And that.
All right.
You swept the category.
Whew.
Cool. Well, I had a 40-year career making movie creatures, so that helps.
Really? Oh. Did you make excellent. It? Did you make any of those creatures?
Well, none of those. Those are before my time. I was a kid watching those, but I did work on Attack of the Clones.
Nice,
cool. All right,
yeah,
that's great.
So, thank you for asking monster movie questions, and I love your show.
Thank you.
Yay.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's cool.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Bob from San Francisco. I hope these questions haven't been asked before, but I'm wondering if you know what the derivation of the word quarantine and the derivation of the word vaccination is.
Well, if they've been asked and answered, I don't remember. So we'll start there. Yeah, those are great questions.
Quarantine is not as old as, doesn't it come from the late Middle Ages, early Renaissance time?
Yes,
and it came into use because of the plague, right?
Yes,
and the Black Death, and it was. Where is it? Where they isolated?
No, it's not where. It's not where.
It's not where. Oh.
Is it
the mark they put on the door of the of where the victims were?
No.
Okay.
If it's not where, is it who?
That's not where or who, it's how long.
Oh.
That's so, a big
poor.
So four, is it, was it like a four-month thing?
Well, it's quarantine. Quarante in French is 40, and in Italian 40. It's 40.
Okay.
So, it's, oh. So quarantine lasted 40 days because they would hold the ship that came in to Venice for 40 days. But where did the 40 come from? That's the question. Why 40?
Hmm.
It wasn't based on science.
Was it based on the Bible? Was it 40?
40 days and 40 nights?
You nailed it. There are three things in the Bible where 40 represents a cleansing period. One was Noah, the 40 days and 40 nights. One was when the Hebrews wandered in the desert for 40 years to cleanse them of their slave mentality when they left Egypt. And the third is the 40 days in Lent, and Jesus in the desert. So that's where it comes from. How about vaccination?
Vaccination, it starts with VAC, which I think would be French vache or Spanish vaca. And so does it have anything to do with the smallpox vaccination, which was done by a man? He vaccinated his cow herd, like somebody who worked for him.
It was Jenner. Wasn't that the guy's name?
Yeah, I can never remember his name.
That's almost right. Jenner noticed that that maids who milked cows who got the cowpox were then immune to smallpox. So he figured out that cowpox conferred immunity. And so vaccination was to deliberately give people cowpox so they didn't get smallpox. Everybody gets a bell. Good job.
But did the word vaccination come from what Kira just said?
Exactly. It comes from the word cow. Exactly right.
Wow. Excellent.
Good job. Good job, everybody.
Thank you.
Whew, we're working hard.
And let's see. Kira, do you have a relatively short question?
Sure. What bestseller was penned in room 411 of the Para Palace Hotel in Istanbul? What bestseller was penned in room 411 of the Para Palace Hotel in Istanbul?
How long ago is this?
Mid-1900s.
Is there something significant about the Istanbul? Is that part of the book at all?
Yeah.
And you said mid-century? Mid-20th century?
Yes.
Does a book take place in the Middle East?
Parts?
Is it Exodus?
No. I think it's the first half of the... I should have written down the year. First half of the 20th century.
First half.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it by a British author?
Yes.
E.M. Forster?
No.
Okay. A male author?
Nope.
Okay.
Female. Oh, all right. Interesting. Okay. So, read it once more if you would, Kira.
Sure. What bestseller was penned in room 411 of the Para Palace Hotel in Istanbul? And I have a year for you. It is 1934.
Is Virginia Woolf the author?
Nope.
Okay.
Bestseller. Bestseller. Also, let me hit that again. Bestseller.
How about Agatha Christie? Is it one of hers?
Is the best-selling author, yeah.
All right. So, Dana, which one? Okay, I got the author. You get the book.
Oh, so, of course, because the Istanbul is the final the final stop for the Orient Express.
Yeah.
There it is.
Murder on the Orient Express.
Is the correct answer to that question. Nicely done.
Okay. Good job.
I miss our bell.
I have a follow-up bestseller question if you want it.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, they started keeping the bestsellers in about 1918, and in the first 5 years that they kept them, so from 1918 to 1922, only one author appeared in the top 10 all 5 years. Who was it? So from 1918 to 1922, when they first started to keep bestseller list, only one author, and no one else appeared more than twice, but this author appeared five times. Who was it?
How about Booth Tarkington?
Great guess, but it's not.
Is that Zane Grey times?
It is Zane Grey, exactly.
Yay.
Way to go. And can you name any of the books? I'd be very impressed.
Riders of the Purple Sage.
Yeah, that's the only one I know.
That one wasn't in that time period. That was a little later.
The Virginian.
No, keep going.
That's Owen Wister. That's why. Right. let's see. Under the Western Stars.
Not Under the Western Stars. Keep going. I think they're all before the ones you're mentioning, I think.
Is there one that's just a one-word title?
Not in that time period.
Okay. I got nothing. Nope.
No.
I'll give them to you quickly. The UP Trail, The Desert of Wheat, The Man of the Forest, The Mysterious Rider, and To the Last Man.
Oh, they made movies out of To the Last Man and what was the other one? Yeah. Anyway.
Good work, you two. Excellent. Or Kira, you won.
All right. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds of the Matter.
Hi, it's Stephen Vallejo.
Hi, Steve.
Hi. On your operation question, I can only remember four of them. I don't know if any of them are in the top dollars, but there's a Wishbone.
Wishbone is one. Very good.
Okay.
Good.
Charlie Horse.
Not Charlie Horse.
Okay. Brain Freeze.
Brain Freeze. That's one of the top ones. Very good.
Okay. And then a Butterfly in Your Stomach.
Not that.
Okay. The Weird Al song is the George Harrison song, Got My Mind Set on You.
That is correct. Good written job, by Rudy Clark, originally a James Ray song from 1962, but most popular when George Harrison sang it in 87.
Nice.
Yeah, I remember when those both came out. So.
Yeah.
So a question for you. Starting back in the 60s, there's a series of 11 movies. I wonder if you could figure out what that series is and then who played the main character. There were four different people who played the main character.
You mean James Bond?
Nope.
Not James Bond.
11 different movies?
Correct.
Is it the Pink Panther movies?
Yep.
Okay, so we have
Peter Sellers.
Peter Sellers, obviously. And then Steve Martin, I think, was the last.
That's right.
How many others are there?
Two others.
One of them is Alan Arkin.
That's right. The third movie had Alan Arkin.
Who played Inspector Clouseau, yes, in the name of the movie.
Now, the last one was just a cameo. I don't even know if he had any lines, but he just appeared very briefly.
So Clouseau just comes in for a hand wave or something like that?
Right, exactly. He's a very famous actor, but I don't even know that he had any lines in the movie.
What year was
it? So, yeah.
That's a good question. It was Curse of the Pink Panther, so it was in the 70s, but I'm not sure the exact year.
Marlon Brando.
No, actually, it's related to the first guest that you had on the movie series.
Oh.
Sean Connery.
No.
Oh, Roger Moore?
Different Bond. Roger Moore? Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Really? All right.
That's good.
Okay.
Good job.
Thanks for the show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. So much.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is this me?
It is you.
All right. This is Chris, Sarah, Doug, and Brad in Sheltering Place. Different places, actually.
Powerful team.
So, we did get a couple earlier ones, and we're sorry that Attack of the Killer Bees wasn't one of those answers. Operation?
Yes.
Is there a hip bone?
Not hip bone.
Is there a heart operation?
There's not a heart operation. Yeah, there is something related to the hip, though. Mm. But it's just not called the hip.
All right. We're not sure. Okay. Ms. Magazine in the hands. Is there cash or money?
No. None of them are cash or money. Keep going.
Car keys.
I'm going to give you that. It's the steering wheel. So driving is one of them. Very nice.
Steering wheel. All right. We got one. Okay. Cover. Jane Fonda.
Not Jane Fonda.
Diane Keaton.
Not Diane Keaton, but it is a movie star.
Okay. We're moving down our list. Board games.
Yes.
Because kids are in place. Candyland.
Not Candyland.
Chutes and Ladders.
Not Chutes and Ladders.
I think we hit our high points before there. All right, daytime shows. Yes. People's Court.
Not People's Court.
Always popular. Days of Our Lives.
Not a soap opera.
Live PD.
No.
I've never heard of it. Have you heard of it?
Yeah, I have.
This is what you're doing during the day.
Yeah.
Okay, Dana. All right.
I'll give you a hint. It's a game show.
It's a game show. All right. It is. Game show, guys. Give me some more names. Okay. Attractions.
No.
Disney World. You said Disneyland.
Yeah.
Oh, attractions. I'm sorry. I was on a, you moved to another question here. Yes. Nothing to do with Disney. So after anything to do with Disney, what are the two most popular tourist attractions in the U.S. named after people?
Got it. Lincoln Memorial.
No.
Dolly Land.
No.
Oh, really? Yeah. I think that's it for us. Anything else? I think that's it. Oh, well, did we win anything? I think we got one, didn't we?
You got a bell. You got a bell.
You got the car key, steering wheel.
That's right.
The largest team. So, hooray.
How about Family Feud for the daytime game show?
Nope.
Yeah. Let's Make a Deal.
Let's Make a Deal. Oh. Yes.
Who's the host of that?
Wayne Brady.
Yeah.
You both.
Anyway, thank you. Thank you, caller. And next call.
Hi.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Frisco Dave.
Hi.
I've got a few guesses for you. Hello?
Hi.
Yeah, you're on. Go ahead.
Hey, for Ms. Cobb, how about a diaper?
No diaper.
Darning egg.
What was it?
Darning egg.
No.
Oh, darning egg.
Okay. Not a darning egg.
How about knitting needles?
Not knitting needles.
Okay. Board game. How about Parcheesi?
Not Parcheesi.
Okay. And Diana comes through with 6-word title, Around the World in 80 Days.
That's number 4 on the list, correct?
Good job.
Nice.
Well, yeah, Diana gets a bell. Thank you.
Thank you.
I.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there, it's Tom. Hi. How about In the Heat of the Night? Did that win Best Picture?
It did. That's number 6. So there's one before that and one after.
Yay. Okay. Tourist attraction. How about the Smithsonian?
No.
No? Caesar's Palace?
No.
No. No. All right. Board games. Trivial Pursuit?
No.
No? Okay. That's it. Bye. Thanks.
Thanks.
Adios.
All right. Time to clean up here. Kira.
Real quick on board games. What about Ticket to Ride?
Nope.
Okay. In that case, all I have, the last two 6-word Best Picture Oscar winners were The Bridge on the River Kwai and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah, of course.
All I got.
Good.
Phyllis Schlafly wrote 4 books about nuclear arms and the SALT Treaty, which shocked me. And then her big bestseller was A Choice, Not an Echo, which was her condemnation of Nelson Rockefeller in support of Barry Goldwater. So 3 million copies. And Kali, the Hindu goddess, besides the steering wheel, rig, typewriter, and skillet, was holding a clock, a mirror, a telephone, and the one you were close on was an iron to iron clothes with. And those were the first issue of Ms. Magazine. That's all I have.
All right. And the 4 board games that have seen the biggest spike in sales since Shelter in Place, Sorry, Connect 4, Clue, and Monopoly. In the game operation, what are the 5 highest paying operations? Breadbasket, that's 1,000. Brain Freeze, 600. Wishbone, 300. Writer's Cramp, 200. Charlie Horse, that's 200. And let's see. After Disneyland, what are the 2 most popular tourist attractions in the U.S. named after people? That's Faneuil Hall in Boston.
Really?
And Balboa Park in San Diego. Anyway, if we did not get you a call, I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here. In spite of everything, we are here every Sunday at 7 p.m. My thanks to our panel tonight. That would be Kira Pace, technical editor, and Lori Fisher. When this is over, he will go back to teaching at Davao Valley College. And I have been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. My thanks to David Latulipe, as always, for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. Not like you had anywhere else to go, but thanks for that anyway. And we do hope you will join us in your captivity next Sunday at 7. Take care, everybody. Be safe. Bye-bye.